Shalom! This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi. Brit Am Broadcasting Israel. We are now studying Psalm 130, Shir Hamalot, the Song of Degrees. Psalm is brought to you by Brit Am. Brit Am believes that the Lost Ten Tribes are in Western nations. For more information concerning this and related matters, please go to our website, www.britam.org, BRITAM.org. There you will find much more material concerning biblical studies and concerning the identity of the Lost Tribes of Israel. We study the Bible, in order to find answers, both for our own edification, for our own learning, for our own instructions, to learn what we ourselves must do, and also in order to teach others to spread the knowledge. And this is part of our task in this world, which nevertheless concentrates, is focused mainly on the identity of the Lost Ten Tribes, finding out who the Lost Ten Tribes are, and spreading this knowledge to others. And we hope that you too will participate with us in this enterprise, that you will be a partner with us, that you will identify with us, and go on this search with us to discover who the Lost Ten Tribes are, where the Lost Israelites are, to be conscious of it, to be aware of it, to identify with it, to internalize it. Because apparently this is what is needed in our age, in our time. In the past it may not have been so important, but in our day it is. Each generation has its own challenges, its own unique goals, and this is part of the goal, of the task, of this present generation of ours. And this psalm expresses a desire for an answer, of a soul crying out to the Almighty to give him an answer, to tell him what he must do, how he must act in this world, in the face of the challenges and the trials and tribulations that a person comes up upon in his daily life, in the things he does day by day, in looking for the pathway he must go in and what he must do in trying to act correctly and not do bad and not make mistakes and not offend other people, not hurt other people, at the same time do what he must do what is necessary for himself, for his family, for his service towards God, what the God Almighty wants of him. That's what we ask God to teach us, to guide us. And that is what this psalm is talking about. My soul cries unto you, says this psalm. My soul is calling out unto you. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Mema amakim, from the depths, from what, when you're in trouble. Sometimes a person gets into trouble. He gets into trouble for all kinds of reasons. He has marital problems, work problems, personal problems. I don't know what there are more than enough reasons why a person can feel oppressed, depressed, and in trouble in this world, especially in our young years, but also throughout our lives. We often come up are faced with crises, tribulations, and we call unto God. We cry unto God from the depths of whatsoever is weighing down upon us. We call unto God Almighty to come and hear us and to hear our supplications and to give us an answer, and he comes, and he will come. Says 132, Lord, hear my voice, that your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications, cryings, pleadings, requests. We ask God, our Father, to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to give us what we want, and we will do what is necessary according to what he tells us. That is what we are asking for. We're not bargaining. We're not saying, help us out and we'll do this and that. We are stating the situation. As we are made, this is what we can do. This is what we are capable of. This is how we are capable of corresponding with the God Almighty, how God Almighty wants us to talk unto him. He wants us to ask of him our requests, to give before him our desires, and to ask him to lead us in the pathway that we need to go in. It says, 130 verse 3, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God counts all our sins and offences, all the bad things we've done wrong, and he holds them against us, we have no chance of getting away with anything. We're all culpable. We're all guilty of things. We've all done things. There's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. It says in verse 130 verse 4, but there be forgiveness with you that you may be feared. God can punish us, and he does so. We get punished. We get hit. A person takes blows in this life, knocks and blows. Things happen to us. Sometimes things go well, sometimes it happens on just the opposite. We get a string of bad luck occasionally. Sometimes, no matter what you do, everything turns out wrong. Nothing succeeds. That happens. As well as a streak of good luck, we get streaks of bad luck. And often these streaks of bad luck are to be attributed to things we have done wrong, to offenses, to sins, to something we have done against the will of the Almighty. And he is punishing us and he is correcting us. And we should search out what needs correction. And very often we can pull ourselves out of this bad mess we are in and redeem ourselves. We should fear God, because God can punish us. He can put us down. He can keep putting us down, and he can also pull us up. Okay? And we should fear God, because he is capable of both forgiving us, he can help us, and he can take away the help from us. And that is why we should fear God. And not only should we fear God because he is created, because we are commanded to fear God and to love God, but we should also be conscious that on a physical level, on a primitive level, and we are all primitive beings. Don't tell me that someone is a spiritual entity and nothing more. We all need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to relate to others, we have emotional needs, we have physical needs, we also have spiritual needs. We need God to come with us and to guide us. And we need this at the basic animalistic level even, as well as a spiritual one. And so we ask God to help us and guide us and give us what we need and teach us and pull us through. And we don't know what we have done. Sometimes we have done offenses or offended people through thoughtlessness. We didn't even notice at the time. Sometimes we say things that hurt other people. It happens. You get in company and so on. Everyone's exuberated, etc. Someone makes a joke, you make a remark, and just keep going. Just keep going with the flow of conversation. You don't notice it. Incidentally, just hurt somebody, offended them deeply. Or other things happen. Sometimes you cause bad things to happen. It happens to a lot of us, and this is because we have had some type of badness in our character that we had not extirpated, that we had not gotten rid of, that we were not even conscious that it was there. Sometimes we can be malicious without even being conscious of it. But there's God in heaven, God Almighty, and he counts these, and these are marks against us. So we should be very careful, because you don't know what you're going to be hit for, what you're going to be punished for, and whatever happens to you is what you deserve. But not all of us get hurt, as we should do. Sometimes because of our parents, grandparents, we did good things, or sometimes we did good things in the past, or we're destined to do good things in the future. Or there's a chance that we might repent. So sometimes God, as if lays off us, he puts it aside. We're on probation. We should consider ourselves on a type of probation. And we should be careful of not doing anything to offend the Almighty, because if we do something to offend him, we do trespass, we do commit a sin, we are liable to be punished. Not only for the offense itself, but for other things that in the meantime, in the balance, we're being held back, as if to say, and could have been forgotten if we had have kept on the right track. And this is how we should relate to our whole situation, to our whole attitude towards the Almighty and towards our daily life. It says, for there is forgiveness with thee, that you may be fierce. Lemantivere. That is correct. That you should, in order that you should be feared. That is what it says. That is how it is translated, and the translation is a correct one. That in order that you may be feared. But in Hebrew, you have words that are double meaning, that sound the same, have different meanings, and very often in the Bible, when you see a certain word used in certain contexts, the intention is that both different meanings of the same word should be applied. And this word, the man tivarea, can also mean that you should be seen. What does it mean to be seen? Be experienced. Through God forgiving us, we actually experience Him. We come to know Him. We can be aware of Him more. But we just have to realize that God forgives us and helps us and cures us. And we can know Him, see Him, as if to say. The Almighty comes to us through His attribute of forgiveness, through forgiving us. And it says in Psalm 130 verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. The word translated as my soul in Hebrew is nafshi, manafshi. Nafshi in Hebrew, that means my soul. It can be translated as my soul. It comes from the root nefesh. Nefesh, singular nefesh, and possessive, manavshi, my soul. In Hebrew language, there are different words for the soul. And they correspond to different levels of soul consciousness, as if to say the soul has different levels of soul, of the soul. Your human soul being that part of you that is capable of communicating with God is your soul. And on its lowest level, which is the level spoken of here, it is similar, it is part of your mind. It is also part of your consciousness, part of your basic animal instinctive need for survival, need for communication, need for correspondence with others, need for communicating with others, need for being part of others, your life force. That is what, my life force waits for God. And this word used for wait, translated as wait, is also correctly translated, Kiviti Hashem, Lord, I have waited. It also means in Hebrew, more correctly, it actually means I have hoped, I hope. It means both wait and hope, and more usually used in the term of hope, or it should be applied in that way. I hope for God, I want God, I long for Him, I yearn for Him, I hope for the Almighty. And in it, I also hope for His word, for the word of the Almighty, that through the word, through understanding the word, through understanding the scripture, I may receive instruction and directions in according to which way I should go in, where I should lead my soul. So, in the next verse, 130 verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning, my soul waiteth. Also translated as nafshi, kiviti nafshi, my soul, my mental, emotional, life-sustaining faculties, this thing called the nefesh within me, this attribute of me that is half animalistic and half angelic, half like a spiritual and half animal, this intermediary state of my being through which I can climb to higher states, that is my mind, you know, with a part of my mind, the life-giving force of my mind that is hoping for the Almighty. Hoping, and just like they that watch for the morning, Mishomrim the Boker, just like a shepherd out in the field staying out night all night long. The shepherds sometimes used to stay all night long in certain seasons of the year with their flocks, when they took them out to pasture in faraway regions. And it would be cold at night and lonely and in the dark, and he's awake and he's waiting there, and he waits and he looks out for the rays of the sun until the light should come up, a new day, a new beginning. So too a similar experience is maybe experienced by security guards, watchmen and so on, people who stay up all night, and they have certain hours they have to stay there, also soldiers on duty on the borders and so on. But those who stay up from the whose watches overlap the night and the daytime, they always look out for the first light of the day, as if the new hope, a new beginning is coming to them. And so too we wait for the word of God, we wait for a message for God, we wait for instruction for God, like a new day coming, even more than someone waiting for a new light to come into their life. It is a hope in the Lord, as it says in verse 130 verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him there is plenteous redemption. Up until now, this psalm has been a private one. It's one of being about the individual in trouble, someone with problems, asking for God to help him, asking for direction. Now it switches over into the national sphere, into all of Israel. And that is the way of the psalms. The psalms can switch back and forth between a personal personal, individual plea, communication, dialogue, as if to say with the Almighty, to a petition on behalf of the entire nation towards the God of Israel, because we are part of Israel. And David, who wrote the Psalms, or wrote most of the Psalms, was instrumental in writing even those Psalms that are not attributed to him. David was the king of Israel, and he could do this because he had the responsibility of all Israel. And naturally, a king or a ruler identifies with all of the people, and he and the people are one entity at a certain level. Nevertheless, each one of us in his own right, his own little sphere, is a king, is a monarch over his own surroundings, over what he has, and he has a responsibility. And also he should extrapolate, he should project himself into the nation, into the whole Israelite people. He should regard himself as part of his Israelite people, responsible for the Israelite people, and sharing in their destiny. And anything he wants from the Almighty, any prayers he makes from the Almighty, he should also transpose them as if the entire nation also needs them. And he needs them, not only for himself, but also to be a good portion, a valid portion of the Israelite nation. And that is what we should do, and that is what we do do. And let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. God can help. It's all there, plenty of it. God can redeem us, and he will redeem us, and he will redeem the whole people of Israel. We just have to ask him to do so and do what is necessary in order for him to answer us, and there will be an answer. God will come to us and will tell us what we should do. Psalms 130 verse 8, he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Almighty will forgive us all our sins. He will save us. He will redeem the peoples of Israel and show us the way we should go in. That is what will happen, and if we do the right thing and stay on the right track, God willing, we shall be saved. We shall receive an answer. And we shall not fail. Thank you very much. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Britam Broadcasting, Israel. On our website, www.britam.org. BRITAM.ORG. May you all be blessed. And may you all be blessed both as individuals and as part of the Israelite nation. Thank you.